Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the second of two shiurim on Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. And in the first part, after we did a quick summary of Ksuva D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan, we went into this idea of believing the Chasan to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and we distinguished between that claim and the claim of Ta'anas Damim, that that there was no blood. Is one able to claim Pesach Pasuach Matzasi if there is in fact blood? We talked about the chazaka of Ein Adam Terech Pesuda U'Mafsida, and why that chazaka is necessary. Do we accept that chazaka? Does the chazaka work for Tosefes Ksuba? That was basically the set of issues that we discussed. So what I want to do this time is one last note regarding the ability to knock out Tosefes Ksuba, specifically not with a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, but with a claim of Ta'anas Damim, which will help us in that contrast of Pesach Pasuach and Ta'anas Damim. And then to move into the six cases that run from basically the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph over onto Yud Amud Beis, a little bit of an overview of the role of these six cases. And then a focus on Rav Nachman's case, the first out of the six, in which he whips the Chassan who came and claimed Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, three different approaches to why he does that, the basis for whipping this person in halacha, and major question I had when I approached that sugya of, why are you not worried that once story gets out that you whipped a guy for claiming Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, you are effectively dissuading anybody in the future from making that claim, including if his wife is in fact prohibited to him. Now what in the world are you doing? So I want to talk about that, and then we'll see how much time is left to talk about the other cases. We're not going to get to that fun section at the bottom of Yud Amud Beis with all the wordplay and Mizbeach and Mezin and Mefarnes and Tamarim and all of that. But if you look at the article that I sent out by Rabbi Yisrael Samet in the Maror Makomos, you will find plenty to satisfy you. So our last note on the issue of Tosefes Ksuba and being able to eliminate Tosefes Ksuba, remember that we said that we distinguish between a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi and a claim of there was no blood in two key ways, one of which is not relevant for us, and that was that whereas Pesach Pasuach Matzasi cannot be claimed regarding a bogeres, Ta'anas Damim could be claimed regarding a bogeres. We talked about why there's blood if there are no basulim. That's the discussion last time. But the part that's relevant for us is that we said Ta'anas Damim has greater certainty to it. There really is no blood, as opposed to Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, where at best that's an uncertainty. I don't think, but it's not like that has any vados, any certainty to it at all. So last time we had said that in the event that the guy claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, thanks to his chazaka, that he wouldn't try to get married to this woman and invest all the effort and then ruin things with a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, we said that thanks to that chazaka, we trust him to knock out Ksuba, but he's not able to knock out, according to most we've shown him, he's not able to knock out Tosefes Ksuba, right? Then the psak was that that he's not able to knock out Tosefes Ksuba. That was the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch following the view of the Rif, right? And then we had that last bit about Kimli at the end that I'm not going to revisit now. But what about claiming there was no dam, which is a more definite claim? Can that effectively eliminate Tosefes Ksuba? So that seems to be a machlokas we showed him. If you take a look at source Aleph on the sheet, the Rambam in Hilchos Yishus Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezayin, after quoting all the Gaonim, Shezesh Amru Chacham Shunamanim Hichishtau Lefzida Iker Ksuba Aval Tosefes Yeshla, he first brings you the position of the Rif, quoting the Gaonim, that claiming Pesach Pasuach does not work in order to knock out Tosefes, Ella imke noda beraya berura shahaisa beula, unless he has clear evidence that she was a beula, or she told him that she was a beula, kodim shetis ares vihitato, and that he had been tricked. So the Rambam is clear. Only hochacha berura works. You need a clear piece of evidence that she is not a besula in order to get rid of Tosefes Ksuba. So will Ta'anas Damim work? The answer is no. That's not Hochacha Barura. However, the Magen Mishnah notes that that's not the position of the Rashba. Magen Mishnah on that Rambam, it's in Source Beis, first brings you Zosvor, Kasvua, Gaonim, and so on, and then V'yesh Misha Kasav, the middle of the second line. There is one who wrote, She'ein ze ele betoin Pesach Pasuach, She'ein atana brura kolkach. Pesach Pasuach doesn't work because it's not such a clear-cut claim. Avo betoin taina shalom matzadam, but if he says there was no blood, Neman afiul hafsida tosefes, he can even knock out the tosefes, Avo pishi makcheshes vomeres matzav abad, even though she says, no, there was dam. We just lost it. Vizet das harash bazal. That's the Rashba. Ve'in kein das rabenu. But the Rambam does not agree. Ella einad mafsedas tosefes. Ella bit raya brura. V'chenira. Fine. So what is this machlokas about between the Rashba and the Rambam? So the Rashba's view seems to be that basically this is a strong claim. Your claim of Tanas Damim really is a strong claim. And the Beis Shmuel says that in source Gimel. He says, V'hainu davka shitoim pesach pasuach matzasi az enu yochol levar aveinu ne'aman. He says, the inability to knock out Tosefes Ksuba makes sense for pesach pasuach matzasi, which is not a claim that he is able to clarify in any way, shape, or form. We're in source Gimel. The aval imtoein tanas damim, but if he makes the claim there was no dam, eino tzare chazaka zu ki yachol levarer. You don't need any chazaka. He says you can clarify it. You could say, look, there's no dam. Do you see dam? I don't see any dam. Mishum hachi ne'eman hu afil lo tarach b'seuda. And therefore, you don't even need the chazaka of ein adam tarach b'seuda u'mafsida. You don't even need the chazaka that people do not waste all of his effort and investment in trying to marry her with a tanas damim. I don't even need that. Because it's such a strong claim. However, he goes on to say that the Rambam and the Tur do not indicate this, and they think even with tanas damim, no. And then he says, the efshar lefi minog shalanu de'ein mimashmishin, or he has here in mishamshin, v'yesh chashash shema ibeid hadam, mishum hachi boin afilu betanas damim, chazaginam toreach pasu'uda. He says, maybe in our world, we're not actually checking them to make sure no one brought in an extra cloth and finding the dam afterwards, then maybe you in fact need the chazaka. So the Rashba's view, as explained in the Beis Shmuel, is this tanas damim is a really strong claim. Therefore, it can knock out Tosefes Ksuba, and says the Beis Shmuel, you don't even need chazaka nam tarach pasuda umafsida. You don't need that chazaka. This is such a strong claim. You can just investigate and that's it. Chazanish was not impressed. Chazanish disagrees. And he says, in source Dalet, of course you need that chazaka. You can't get anywhere without that chazaka. Because, he says, the guy needs two chazakos because she has a rov and a chazaka. Right? On her side, you have the rov. Most women who get married as besulos. And chezkas haguf, the fact that she was a besula when she was born. And therefore, we assume that state has continued. So therefore, he says, you need two chazakos for him. What are his two chazakos? And Adam Terech Basuda Mafsida, that's number one. And number two, the baseline chazaka of chezkas mamon. I'm holding my money. You want my money. You have to prove you have a right to it. So the Chazanish says you need the two chazakos. So he's against the Beis Shmuel. He says that you do need the chazaka. Okay. So the bottom line is that the position of the Rashba is that this is a very strong claim, Tanas Damim, and therefore it can knock it out. The Rambam, though, did not agree. Why didn't the Rambam agree? So the Beis Shmuel says maybe because we don't check them and the Damim may have been removed. And that last line that I brought you in Source Gimel, that may explain the Rambam. Okay, there's more to be said about this in terms of the distinction between what if her response is to be silent versus where her response is, no, there was Dam. Is she machishayim? But I'm not going there. I'm not going into that. The only note I'll make on this, and then we'll go into the six cases, is the Beis Shmuel adds that here you may say kimli. Since I have a machlokas Rambam and Rashba without a clear-cut winner between them, so even if Beis Din says, I follow the Rambam, we follow the Rambam, and the Rambam says that you're not able to knock out Tosefes Ksuba with Tanas Damim, the guy could say, yeah, but a kimli like the Rashba. The Rashba says that you are able to knock out Tanas Damim. And that fits with what we said last week about Kimli, that you can do Kimli where it's one versus one, for sure. Even if one of them is greater than the other, Kimli is a reasonable response. As opposed to where the Mechaber, the Ramah, and everybody else follows the majority of the Rishonim, and you happen to have a couple of Rishonim who have a distinct view, you can't say, well, I'm going to follow that couple of Rishonim. Okay, that's just a little bit of a follow-up that helps sharpen the distinction between Pesach Pesach Matzasi and Tanas Damim. If you follow that, great. If you didn't follow that, we have 50 minutes to go to learn something else. Okay. The six cases. We saw Rav Nachman make the statement that Ein Adam Terech Pesu'udo Umafsida, this guy is not going to invest in marrying her, planning to turn everything around and throw everything over and say, actually, wait a minute, Pesach Pesach Matzasi. So that sounds like we do believe the guy. But then you get a story which triggers a whole discussion in source Hey on the sheet. Hahuda asle kamed Rav Nachman, guy comes to Rav Nachman, Amar le Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and he says, what do you know? There were no Basulim. Amar le Rav Nachman asbuhu kufri. Rav Nachman says, hit him with kufri. Kufri are sharp palm branches, right? If you remember the Gemara in Sukkah, about the lulav, and we use the lulav that does not have the spikes, that's the kufri, because it wouldn't be nice, it's bad enough that people whack each other with the lulav in shul during challah, but if they had thorns on it, that would be really bad. So they take these thorny branches and hit him with them. We didn't use them on Sukkot, we have them around in Beis Din. Now, the next word I'm going to read as Rashi reads, mavrachta chavita lei. I know I've seen some who have said birkasa. I have no idea where they got that from. But Rashi says mavrachta. Mavrachta chavita lei. We're going to come back to what exactly that response is. What does mavrachta chavita lei mean? But we know what the first two words mean. The first two words mean hit him. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Nachman huda amar mehemen. Rav Nachman is the one who says, we believe the guy. Chazakinim terech b'zudu mafsida. Why are you hitting him? Yeah, mehemen umasina le kufri. Yes, we believe him. And we hit him. The best of both worlds. Why? We'll talk about that. And Rav Achai gives a different answer. Rav Achai answers two different kinds of husbands. One is a husband who has never been married before, kan b'bachur. The other is a husband who's been married before, kan b'nasui. And therefore, he has a degree of credibility the bachur does not have. That's a basic read of the Gemara, skipping the most fun parts of it in terms of what exactly he meant and why he's doing it and what is our response and all of that. But that leads the Gemara to go through another five cases, each time undermining the Chassan's claim, either of Pesach Pasuach or of Tanas Damim, in a different way. One thing that's very noteworthy in this Gemara is that after our first case with Rav Nachman, the remaining five cases all involve Beis Rebbe. They're all from the house of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, meaning it's three Rabban Gamliels and Rebbe himself. The family line, just to remind people, right, starts with Hillel. And then after Hillel, you have Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. And after Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, you have Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the one from the Asara Haruge Malchus. And then you have Rabbi Gamliel Berebbe, who is the second of the Rabban Gamliels. He's the most famous Rabban Gamliel. He's the one who's with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua and the whole deposing of the Rosh Yeshiva. That's Rabban Gamliel II. His son is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the famous one from the Mishnah. Then you have Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, a.k.a. Rebbe. And then you have Rabban Gamliel Bar Rebbe, and that's Rabban Gamliel III, part of that bridge generation of Tanoim and Amoraim. So we will find all three Rabban Gamliels, as well as Rebbe, in these cases, diffusing the claims of the Chassan. We're thinking about the fact that, who was it who said, Ksubas Del Raisa? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So you sort of wonder, as you read this, it makes a lot of sense. If Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Shita is a family Shita that Ksubas Del Raisa, it makes sense that the husband has less credibility to undermine Ksuba. Because we had said the whole thing was because Ksuba. I haven't seen anyone say that, but it seems like a reasonable thing to say. But not in terms of the family line now, but just in general. The fact that we have a Gemara that says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi is believed, is Naaman. Except, right? In all six stories, we are not going to believe it, is an example of the Gemara bringing what looks like Maisa Listor. Right? Maisa Listor is usually a question. the Gemara brings you a halacha, and then it brings you a story, and the story contradicts the halacha. Usually you look at it in the Gemara and say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you bringing me a story that contradicts what you just said as a halacha? No one says that here. And it seems to be an example of the use of cases that undermine a stated halacha. Rabbi Yehuda Brandes in Agadah Mechavenes Halacha has points you to a tshuva of Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. If you take a look at source Vav, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam explains the role of such stories. He says, Klalo shel davar, omer ani, shedayin she'eno holech bepsakav ala acha mashakasuf umeforesh hu chalash verafa, or rafe. He says, a judge who only follows in his psak that which is letter of the law, black and white law, that's weak. He says, we have a principle. The dayanim only have what they see. That doesn't only mean in terms of analyzing a case. It also means in figuring out what's the appropriate psak. Vena davar kein, ela dvaram haksuvim heim ha'ikar, v'tzarech ha'dan dino ha'mora ha'ra lishkol osam l'fi komasa umasa ha'balafanav. He says, you have to know what the halacha is, but then you have to weigh the specifics of the story that comes in front of you. L'hakish as hadin l'domalo, to make comparisons to other cases, l'hotzi anafim in ha'ikar ma'heim, and to produce branches out of those roots. He says all the stories that you find in the Gemara of applying these halachos are not written there for nothing. It's not filler. And you're also not supposed to say, oh, so here's a story, now I'm going to apply that story, and the story is it. No, the story isn't necessarily your case either. The Dayan has a responsibility to make an analysis and use that story as a basis for the way that he approaches the case that is in front of him. You see that a lot. I gave shiurim for lawyers a couple of times on issues of pshara. And it's very important to understand that the Gemara says, Kol Dayan hadan din emes la'amito. A judge who judges emes la'amito is like a shutof of Hashem ma'aseh bereishis, like a partner of God in creation. Dun emes la'amito, I think it's the Shach who makes the comment. I'm not 100% sure of that. I didn't go back through my notes. But who says emes la'amito means reflecting not only the truth of the law, but the truth of the case that's in front of you. He has to be able to weigh that as well. And the root of this idea of Rabbi Avram ben Arambam is in a comment by the Rambam himself in Hilchos Sanhedrin. If you take a look at Sur Zayin, Perichav Dalad, Yesh Ledayan Lidom Bedine Mamanos Api Dvarim Shedaito Note Lohen. The judge dealing with financial matters has to follow his mind, what he thinks is right, chain MS, that which he thinks is true, v'adavar chazak b'libo shu kein, and that is strong in his heart to think it is so. Ava pi she'en sham raya barura, even if he doesn't have a clear proof. Vein tzarech lomar ha'yodea b'vadei she'adavar kein, certainly if he actually knows it is so. The kein hu, shehu dan kifi ma she'yodea, he has to go by what he knows. And then he goes, has a long discussion, and he says, "Kol elu advarim hein ikar hadin." He says, you got to be really careful about this. What I just said to you, that the judge has to go based on what he knows, and based on his intuition, that's ikar hadin. Aval, however, misharabu batei dinin she'enen hagunin, he says, the Rambam says, in my day, in 12th century, Egypt, he says, we have a lot of batei din that are not hagun. They're not functioning properly. They're not right. And even if they are hagunim, their chachamim are not really such great chachamim. Their dayanim are not so brilliant. They're not so understanding. And therefore, hiskimu rov batei dinei Yisrael shelo yahavchu shvua lebaraya barura v'leiv gemushtar v'yafsidu cheskaso be'edus isha opasol v'chem b'shar kol adinin v'lo etc. 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 He says, our batei din have decided that we don't have the same kind of a leeway that I just supported in previous halacha. You have to be really, really careful about how you play this game. You have to be very careful about accepting edus, which technically is disqualified edus. You have to be very careful about about disqualifying a shtar and all of these things. You have to be really careful, and you can't just do it. Lo yidon adayim b'smichas daito v'lo b'idiyaso k'dei shlo yomar kol hedyo li b'mamin l'divrei zeh. Because otherwise you have a situation in which every regular Joe who's set up for a Hataras Nedarim suddenly thinks that he's a Dayan and he could flip things and subvert things on the basis of his intuition. So the Rambam gives you both sides. Yes, these cases are brought for you in order to give you a basis for approaching things that's nuanced. At the same time, go too far and you go off a cliff. That's the Rambam's encouragement as well as warning, and I brought you in Ches. This is from Rabbi Brandes as well. He quotes you the Shelas Yavetz. The Shelas Yavetz has a tshuva regarding the problematic case of a woman who got married and gave birth 6 months later, and the husband, understandably, was a little bit disturbed. So the question now is, what's the status? What's her status? And he came up with a way to permit her to her husband. And look what he says here at the end of the tshuva. He uses a line that comes from the stories, some of the stories in our six cases. He says, "Kigonze ra'isi chova alai lases she'elasoa haguna v'lasos bakashaso shalola anos dino ulahodio da'ati hakala kamoshi b'ksav biltinim chak." He says, "I saw it as my obligation not to delay, and to give him my answer, as is recorded here." Haroa lo zechus lomar ledevek tov. He says, "I actually think lomar ledevek tov." Right, the language that we use in our Tanoim. They can stick together. Vomer zechay b'mekchacha, as we see in our Gemara. Go ahead, you're fine. Stay married to her. V'yivne lo mimena binyan adayad kizera Yaakov v'yischak. Hanidchem ebnei shas atchak tolas Yaakov Yisrael, etc. He says, you know what? I see an imperative to help them to be able to stay married, and he invokes our stories as a basis for that. So that's a little bit about the role of these six stories. I also wanted to note something from the Yerushalmi, and I heard you discussing the Yerushalmi as well the other day. If you take a look at source tests, Rabbi Elazar appears in the Bavli, and he also appears in the Yerushalmi, in this discussion about the guy claiming Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. In the Bavli, Rabbi Elazar says, Shavya anafshe chaticha de isura. The reason why he is believed when he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi is because he makes her asur to him. He declared her to be prohibited to him. Now she's asura to him. However, in the Yerushalmi, that's not what he says. In the Yerushalmi, in source tests, he says, you have the question first. V'yerav alav hamekach. The Gemara there, the Yerushalmi before that said, if you don't have Beis Din available the next day, then he's going to decide after he's been with her for a couple of days, I don't need to make a claim in Beis Din. It's okay, I'm happy. So the Gemara says, no. So what's wrong with that? Let him be happy with his transaction that he has made. Let him be happy with her. No, less yachol. You can't do that. Why? Da Amar Rabbi Ila b'shem Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Ila says, quoting Rabbi Elazar, "Matzah Pesach Pasuach Asur LeKaima Mishum Safek Sota." Once he finds Pesach Pasuach, she is now in the category of Safek Sota, and what that means. And I found this article by Rabbi Lifshitz using Asif Safek Bevadai, and I liked the way that he framed that. That what we're saying is, take a look. You do it. Chavayas haPesach haPasuach al Avshi Omeres Davar v'Chatzi Davar al Znus o Begida v'Ulahi Mukaseit. He says the experience of finding Pesach Pasuach, even though it doesn't actually say anything about what happened, meaning all we know is that there were no Besulim, there was no Hymen, but I don't know how that happened. I don't know if she's a Mukaseit. I don't know if there was Znus. It doesn't tell me enough. Nonetheless, Yotzeres, it creates, and you like this expression, vada'ut shel safek. We're definitely unsure.
He's a student of Rav
Shabbar. Is he?
Yeah, Rosh Hashivat Siach.
Okay, I didn't know that. I just knew he had an article on Asif. So he says, nikur bimocho shel ha'ish. It pounds away at the brain of this guy. Right, you're learning the Gemara in Gittin with Johnny Strauss. So this is the Tito's Gemara. It's eating away in his brain of, I didn't find a Pesach. I found Pesach Pasuach. Now maybe there's really something wrong. Ruach kinah muhzeres ela isha beruach tumah. They are kiruach tumah. He says there is, like in the case of the Sota, this doubt. I don't know what's going on. Is she involved with somebody? Ukishne edim kivados. It's like having two witnesses. That's the fear that this fellow is feeling. And he writes bizihirus rabba. He says with great care, with great caution, I suggest the following. He says, even though the last four cases are not Pesach Pasuah cases, they're Tanas Damim cases where there is no blood, which is a stronger claim, he says, I still think the point stands regarding these last four cases as well. This sense of Safek Sota that Rabbi Elazar invoked. Avalomi perspectiva habala chashdan o ishamina efes eladavka lo or tafkido shel beis hadin amutzag kan kimimale makom shel beis hamikdash. He says, let's take Rabbi Elazar's comparison further. In the case of a sota, what happens? We go to the beis hamikdash. They use the sota water. What's the goal of the sota water? Lahati reishis ish labala. Right? The goal of the sota water is to dispel the doubt and permit them to each other. That's what we want to achieve. He says that's the role of the Beis Din. Beretzono lahashkin shalom bein b'nei hazug, to make peace between the couple, right? You remember the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota talks about how we erase the name of Hashem. Why? In order to permit them to each other, to bring shalom. Not we erase the shame Hashem in order to punish a woman who was Mizana and the guy she was Mizana with. That's not what the Gemara says. The goal is lahatir. The goal is to permit, to resolve this doubt. That's the goal. When I was in the Gush at the end of December, when I went to Eretz Yisrael, I was talking about the sugya with Rav Yorah Kahn there, and he also suggested independently the goal here is fundamentally to resolve the husband's doubts, and I think that's supported in a tshuva from the Gaonim. If you take a look in Yud Aleph. They're dealing with the issue of the barrel test, which we may get to by the end of the shiur. And the key point that I wanted to show you in it right now is just the end of it, where he says, I'm going to come back to the rest of it, I hope, later on, but he says, Ava pishein chotchin bazeh. He says, we don't really rely on the barrel test to determine whether she's a basula or not. That's not actually a thing. We do it in order that the guy should feel better. That's really what this is about. We want to just calm him down. So, yeah, it's a remarkable statement, though.
Because I saw something less weird.
Apparently not. Sorry?
No, I guess it's a
sorry.
Okay. So, what we're saying here is that these six cases fly in the face of Rav Nachman's original statement of we believe the guy in the event that he claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. This may reflect a shita of Beis Rebbe going all the way back to Rav Shimon Gamliel's view regarding Suba as a deoraisa. We do see this idea that the cases that are brought in the Gemara may mitigate, modify the straight halacha, with the caution that the Rambam brings, that if you're not an expert Dayan, you should not be playing this game. And finally, this idea in the Yerushalmi that she is a Safek Sota feeds into the idea that what we really want to do is get the doubt out of the head of the guy in order that they should be able to be back together. Clear? Questions, comments? Jared, that was a...
No, this is like this is something that came up a lot this past week. We were talking about it. Similar. We were talking back and forth about this.
It's rushed.
No. I'm not sure. I think that he read. I think no. But we were talking about this. Every one of those cases ends with like zachem vekachacha,
right?
Which sort of has like this like positive vibe.
Yes.
From it,
yes.
Sort of, which fits with this idea.
Yes.
Like saying like you're good. Take her. You're good. Everything's good. Don't worry anymore.
Right. True. I mean, only after you get past the husbands who are getting beaten by Rav Nachman. Right. After we first whip him and then insult him and say Shemahitisa and you just don't know what you're doing, right? Then after that things are much happier. And the reason why is because in those opening cases, as we're gonna see, the allegation is that the husband is doing this bemazed. There's something wrong with it. once we get past husbands who are bad actors and we get to husbands who are, just don't know what they're doing, then yes, then we're much more positive in our response. Okay, so let's talk about that opening case, the case that we already read in the Gemara back in Source. Hey, so you can refer back to it as we do the table that I gave you in Source Yud Gimel. First of all, Source Yud Beis. Just I wanted to note Mavrachta. And again, I've seen some write the name as Birkasa for the city, but it's not. Rashi says no. Rashi says the name is Mavrachta. The mem is part of the name, and that's what I go with. There is the Aruch, I just wanted you to see as well, in Source Yud Beis, who actually says that Mavrachta is from the term Nivreches of the Kovsim. Nivreches is where is the spring where they do laundry. And he says it's actually a kinoi for Oso Makom. It's not a name of a city at all, but rather it's a reference to the place, reference to her. That's just a side note worth knowing about. But the question is, how do I read this story fundamentally that we brought in Source Hay? What exactly is it that we are whipping him for? Right? Rav Nachman says, Asbuhu Kufri, we should hit him with, again, these thorny palm branches. Mavrachta Chavit Alei, what exactly is Rav Nachman saying happened there? And then what's our first response of Mehemen Umasvina Le Kufri? He is believed and we whip him. What exactly does that mean? So I wanted to go through three different shitos, three different ways to read this. And I gave you a table because I found that a good way for myself just to visualize what's going on. So fundamentally, the first approach is, and the table goes right to left, that the Hava Mina is that we are whipping this guy because of Hotsas Shem Ra. He is giving her a bad name and has no basis for doing so. What he's doing is wrong, and this is the first approach in Tosfos. It is also the first approach brought in the Rush, which I think the Rush favors. And the idea is, if you go back to the Gemara in Source Hay, I didn't think about it being on two different sides, or I would have reproduced it on the sheet. But Hahuda Asla Kameh de Rav Nachman. Guy comes to Rav Nachman and says to him, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Amale Rav Nachman, Asbuhu Kufri. Rav Nachman says, whip him. Mavrachta Chavit Alei. It's a question within that. It's a rhetorical question. It's not like he wants an answer from the guy. Rav Nachman says, was he involved with Zonos of the city of Mavrachta? Or, according to the Aruch, was he familiar with Mavrachta, such that he would know anything? The guy's lying. He doesn't know anything. We are whipping him because he's lying about her and giving her a bad reputation. That's called Motzi Shemra. To which the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Rav Nachman says he's Ne'eman. He's believed. What do you mean he's lying? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara's first answer is, Mehemen, you're right, he's not really lying. It's true. Then why am I whipping him? For immorality. Because he got his experience somewhere. If I'm believing him, that means that I think that he knows what he's talking about. If he knows what he's talking about, he must have been with a woman first, but he's a single guy. That's not good. So we're whipping him because he got this experience in some immoral way. And then Rav Achai comes along, and Rav Achai says, Kan b'bachar, kan b'nasoi. He says, no. Rav Nachman did two different things because he was dealing with two different cases. In the event that the guy is experienced because he's married, then we believe him to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi because he has a chazaka that he wouldn't go to the effort of marrying her in order to dynamite things. However, if he's a bachur, then Rav Nachman whips him for lying, like we thought in the first place. You follow? That's one way to read the Gemara. The Rush supports this read, saying, it's possible that the Bachur just heard things about Bia that led him to believe that his experience was Pesach Pasuach. Like, it doesn't have to be that he's that he's actually experienced. The Rush likes this read that maybe the whipping is for lying as opposed to for immorality. Okay, that's all one approach. Second approach to the story, and this is the second approach in Tosfos, is guy comes to Rav Nachman, says Pasuach Matzasi. Rav Nachman says, whip him. Mavrachta Chavit Alei is a statement. he must have experience with zonos or with osomakom. And therefore we are whipping him because he is an immoral person. We believe him. But we whip him for his involvement with something he shouldn't have been involved with. To which the Gemara asks, but Rav Nachman says we believe him, which is fine, but the Rav Nachman didn't mention anything about whipping him. If Rav Nachman really believes that this guy is immoral, then when we brought up Pesach Pasuach Matzasi in the first place, he should have said, we believe him, Chazaka and so on, and we whip him. Why didn't you mention whipping? If you're following along with the table, you can see where I brought this on the table, but I'm just referencing, I have the Gemara in front of me. So the answer is, you're right, Mehemen, he's believed, and Masmina Lekufri, and we whip him for immorality. You're right, yeah, we really should have said that at the top of the Amud. Okay, fine, but that's the halacha. And then Rav Achoy gives you a different answer, and he says, no, Rav Nachman whipped a bachur, we don't believe the bachur, and we whip him for lying, not for immorality. That's the second approach to the Gemara. Clear? Okay? Yeah. I'm coming to that. Good question. I'm getting there.
Do we also normally give people makot for their own admission to something
that getting there also.
Okay.
Yeah. Good questions. I'm glad you asked. I'm just not quite ready, but we're gonna go there. The third approach to it is the run on the riff. And he says no. There's a separate issue here. The issue is chutzpah. You walk into Beis Din and you announce that you know that it was Pesach Pasuach. What are you doing? Why would you do that? That's the way that the Ran on the Rif reads it. He says, again, Asbu Kufri, Rav Nachman says to whip him, Mavrachta Chavitale, he was with the Zonos of the city of Mavrachta, or he was with Osamak, whatever, and he knew he wouldn't be believed in Beis Din, and yet he flaunted his pritzus in front of the Beis Din. If you turn to Source Yadalit, I brought you that run. He says, Dimistama manda asi kame beidina shayuli mishayli beresha maidina. He says, people don't just walk into Beis Din. They first investigate. They find out. You can't really try it on the Dayanim in advance. They're not supposed to hear the case beforehand. But you ask somebody who knows what he's talking about. Am I going to get a hearing in Beis Din? V'kevin de yada de lo mehemen. This guy knew he wasn't going to be believed. V'afilu hachi machazia pritzuse kamayu. He displays his pritzus in front of them. Mechayvi la'asube kufri. This guy deserves to get whipped. That's the statement of the Ran on the Rif. There was no reason for him to go to Beis Din, and he did it anyway, flaunting his pritzus. The Meiri sounds similar, but not quite the same. The Meiri in Source Tezvav says, Bachur stam eno naman, she'yef shalo bebekiyuzeh. We wouldn't believe a Bachur, because he has no experience in this. V'lo oda l'shamalkin oso midivrei sofrim b'chari yoshal dekel. Not only that, we whip him rabbinically. With the palm branches or something else if you don't have palm branches around. Al Shehei is Bekach, because he was so bold. That sounds like he's saying like the Ran. He says Shehei is Bekach. But he goes on to say, Vatam Shemeachar She'eno Naman, since he's not believed, Eino Elaka Motzi Shemra. The issue is Motzi Shemra. Purely Motzi Shemra. V'danin bo, Karoa Devar Erva B'chaveru Umeyed Bo Yechidi. We treat him like somebody who is testifying alone against somebody where his word is not going to be believed. It's just giving the guy a bad reputation, which we're going to come back to. That's the Zigud case, Zigud and Tuvia case we have to come back to. But the point is, the way the Meiri frames it is not quite the same as the Ran. The Meiri seems to be framing it not as flaunting your immorality in front of the Beis Din, but rather it's the libel issue. It's the Motzi Shemra issue. Shua. According to this, yes.
So who's it for then?
It's for the guy who's been married before.
Oh, just for
yeah, him. Just for the no. So, and that's Rav Achai's answer.
So the reason Beis Din was set up to have Mondays and Thursdays for repentance and WhatsApp cases should not exist essentially? Unless you haven't married in the past, I don't know.
That sounds it's only for the Nasui? Maybe. Shoshone, yeah?
I throw a punctuation question in the chat when you have time. It's not urgent.
Oh, okay. In the story, did I add the question mark? Yes, I added the question mark. You're asking the if I add? Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So the I generally add punctuation into my sources. I find it easier for me when I'm giving the shiur if I have the punctuation in front of me, and I think it might help some other people also. So yeah, that's mine. So Rav Nachman, according to the Ran, is saying this guy is a mechutzef. He's walking into Beis Din and claiming something which is going to, at the end of the day, make him, not support his case and just make him look like he's a poritz in front of the Beis Din. To which the Gemara then asks, but Rav Nachman said he is believed, so it's not chutzpah at all. Why are you whipping him? To which the answer is, you're right. You're right, the Ran says, the issue is not really chutzpah. The issue, in fact, is immorality with the zonos. That's the first answer. And then the second answer is Rav Nachman whipped a bachur because he was with the zonos of Mavrachta. He knew he wouldn't be believed, and yet he flaunted his preetzus in front of the Beis Din. What do we say la halacha about believing a bachur? Like, so where do we come out in this Gemara? Within the sugya, the first answer in the Gemara seems to say a bachur is in fact believed. We just whip him. And Beis Din meets on Monday and Thursday in order to be able to hear his case. The Rav Achai's answer is taken by most Rishonim to mean we do not believe a bachur. However, the Meiri disagrees. If you take a look at the Meiri in Source Tezayin, after bringing that everybody believes that Rav Achai is saying don't believe a bachur, because he says here is a bachur, here's a nasui. He says, no, anima farish, kam bebacher, kam benasui, sha nasui ne'aman velo mazvino le kufri, or bacher ne'aman mazvino le kufri. We believe both, bacher and nasui. It's just that we whip the bacher, we don't whip the nasui. And he says, there are three different categories. There's the guy who was married, who is believed, and there's no whipping. There is the guy who's the bacher, who seems to be approaching us very naively and innocently, and not saying, I know, I have experience, but just, I think there was no Pesach. And he doesn't get whipped either. We just don't believe him. And then there's a guy who comes in with experience, and him we believe, and we whip him. That's the way the Meiri frames it in Source Tes Zion. What about La Halacha? How do we conclude? Says Machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. When the Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis, he does not bring any distinction between Bachur or Nasui at all. He indicates then that we do believe the Bachur. And that's the Mechaber. In Evena Ezer Samaches Vav, he makes no distinction. Why? So the Chalkas Mechokik in Source Yud Zayin explains, Avila Das HaRambam She'enu Mechaik Ben Bachur L'Nasui Yusvir Alei Da'af Bachur Mehemen. And then he goes on to Roy La'akoso Kesher Asa Rav Nachman. That's a separate point. But it seems like the argument is that the Rambam doesn't accept Rav Achoi's answer. There's another piece in the Bir Agra there that I just didn't follow that may be worth seeing. The Rama, though, brings a view that in fact, I'm sorry, so they're taking the view that we don't accept Rav Achoi's answer, and therefore we believe Bachur and Nasui. However, the Rama disagrees, so the Rama brings an alternative view in Yud Ches. Yesh omrim t'tanas pesach pasuach lo yuchal liton rak nasui av a bachur lo. Some say no. We don't actually listen to the bachur. Ve'adra of Malkinoso, and just the opposite, we whip him. There's a whole discussion on this separate from that. That's how the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama leave things. There's a whole discussion in the Pisrei Tshuva that I didn't think I had room for here, but it's probably worth seeing. Samaches Beis, about how we apply this post Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Once you can't divorce her against her will, what does that do to the entire sugya? Because if he says Pesach Pasuach and she says that's not true, now what's the guy supposed to do? He can't divorce her against her will. So where do things go? So that's in the Pesach Tshuva there. Okay. Now I come back to AZ's questions. What is the nature of giving Malkos within any of the three approaches? Whether it's for libel, Motzi Shemra, whether it's for immorality, or whether it's for chutzpah in front of the Beis Din. So if it's for Motzi Shemra, it's not the Motzi Shemra that appears in the Torah. Let's be clear. It's not the Motzi Shemra that you find in the Psukim. So what exactly is going on here? So the Rashba quotes the Ravid on our Gemara, who links it with Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the story that I already referenced before. If you take a look at Source Yates, I just brought it in the Rashba. It's the story of of Zigud and Tovia. He says V'chem Pirush. Actually, I didn't bring in the story there. I just brought the reference to it. So I didn't. All right. What he does though is he references that story. The story there is that Zigud says to Beis Din that this fellow Tovia has done something wrong, and he's only one aid. And the Beis Din whips him, leading to the line you see in the Gemara in various places. I don't understand. Tuvia chata v'zigud mangid. Tuvia sinned and Zigud's getting whipped. And the answer is yes, because you're not supposed to testify as one person because your testimony has no meaning. There are cases where one person's testimony does have meaning. This is a case where it did not have meaning. So so that is a precedent for saying you give someone a bad reputation without any practical applications in Beis Din. How dare you? We're going to whip you for it. And that's brought in the Shut Radvaz. The Shut Radvaz is dealing with a terrible case. The daughter of the Rivash had to deal with some guy who was spreading rumors about her. She was a widow. And the guy was spreading rumors that she had been involved inappropriately with a man. And she complains to the Rash, to the, oh, sorry, that's the Rashbash. Sorry, first I brought you the Radvaz, who just is dealing with a more pedestrian case of somebody who's motzi shem ra. And he says, in fact, v'loke mishum motzi shem ra, that's in source chaf, and he invokes the story of Tuvia and Zigud. But the story in the Rashbash was this case where somebody was making this allegation about her, and he put the guy in cherem. And his basis for it was our story. In source chaf aleph, you see the part that I bolded. Dahilku Rav Nachman lav mishum dechashal harayosu ela mishum davi motzi shemra al benos Yisrael. He whipped him for libel. That's the way that he takes our story. Is that what's going on? Is libel? So we have precedent in the Gemara Psachim, and we have antecedent in terms of those who actually used this practically to say you create a bad reputation for somebody. You better be prepared. Asbu kufri, we're going to whip you for it. Yes. I mean, he's already married to her. Yeah. Yeah. That he already is.
Are we talking about this Mardus?
This is Mardus, yeah. This is just purely Mardus, correct. Now, if it's for Shoshone, I see your hand, but I also see the time, and I want to make sure that I get at least through this part. Thanks. If it's for immorality, we also have this idea of punishing people for immoral conduct. Perhaps the most famous example, the Gemara in Kedushin Pei Aleph in Source Chav Beis, where Rab says, Malkin Allo Tova Hashmua. We whip people in the event that there are substantive rumors about them being involved in arayos, in immoral behavior. I underline substantive rumors. You can't just be, you know, somebody said something and now we're going to whip the target of the rumor. But that's what he says. He quotes Shnemar al Banai Kilo Tova Hashmua, which is Eli with his sons. And the point of bringing that pasuk is simply to say the term Lo Tova Hashmua refers to Arayos, because that is on one level the allegation about what Chafni and Pinchas are doing. Leave aside all the questions about what exactly they did and with the women bringing their karbanos. Not our point right now. But that's why the pasuk is brought in that Gemara, and it teaches us. This Gemara teaches us that we punish people for immoral conduct. The Tashbates use that as a basis for excommunicating somebody in a case where a man admitted to living with a single girl when she was a nida. He didn't actually admit to the nida part, but it was deduced as part of the tshuva. So the Tashbates in Source Chav Gimel says, yes, we whip in this case. And he says, based on Rav Nachman, he invokes Rav Nachman as a basis for it. So we have the possibility that we're whipping him for immorality. What about for chutzpah of just flaunting his immorality in front of the Beis Din? So we have precedent. This is the best I could come up with. We have precedent for Malkos / excommunication nidui for people who show disrespect to a Beis Din. So an example of this, Source Chav Dalet, Af b'shliach Beis Din aser lino kalus rosh. You're not even allowed to insult the emissary of the Beis Din, the proxy of the Beis Din. V'amitzaro, you pain him, yesh reshus le-Beis Din la-hakos o-makas mardus. Beis Din can whip for that. V'ashaliach naman kishnayim la-hoed shabizok de-lenadoso. And the shaliach is credible to testify that somebody insulted him to warrant putting somebody in cherem. The shaliach alone can testify. That's one source. Another is this Rama in Source Chafei. Misha Omer Sheino Choshesh Akzeres Beis Din Ochacham. If somebody says, I don't care what Beis Din says, Avo Bisha Bala Beis Din, even if he actually follows what Beis Din says. They summoned him and he showed up. But he shows up insultingly. He says, I'm coming to Beis Din not because you made me come to Beis Din, but because I feel like coming to Beis Din. Guy does that. Menadin Oso. We put him in Cherem. Ha'ova Omer Shaloba Machmas Gzeiraso Havi Af Gerusa. Because he shows he's not really respecting the Beis Din at all. That's Hefkerus. We are going to whip him for that. The sources here do not invoke Rav Nachman that I saw. It's just the, but I think that demonstrates somewhat the basis for this. Clear? Okay. One more piece I want to get through, and then I'll come back for the question if there's time, Shoshone. But one more piece that I can't really finish this case without is the question I asked in the beginning. What happens if the Chassan is actually not with Zonos and actually correct, and she is, in fact, Asura to him? Let's say he's a Kohen, right? So I don't need to prove that it was after Kiddushin. Now what? Aren't you scaring him off? He's not going to come to Beis Din anymore. You out of your mind? I heard what Rav Nachman did to the last guy. So the Chazon Ish raises this question. And he says the following. If you take a look at source Chavav, the Chazon Ish here is talking about the last of the six cases. What he says is relevant for all of them. He says, Nira dehabal lo haya meshaker b'meizid ela ta'a. This is the point I made to you before about lechzechei b'mekchecha. He says, the husband was not lying on purpose. Elata, he made a mistake. Dihotzi shema b'meizid, if he did it on purpose, masbina le kufri kedamar b'bachor, then we would whip him the same way we did with the bachor. V'lo haya Rabbi Gamliel potro below ga'aro nezifa. Rabbi Gamliel would not have let him off the hook without yelling at him. If the guy in fact was doing this b'meizid, and I bring this Chazon Ish to say that the Chazon Ish is answering our question. In the event that this guy is b'meizid, then we are going to whip him. But if the guy shows up and he's innocent, like that Meiri that we saw, he doesn't know what he's talking about, then we're not going to whip him. We don't want that possibility. Rav Nachman is dealing with a case in which he knows this fellow is a mazid. However, there actually are three different approaches to this. The Ritva says, I'm not worried that you're going to scare him off. The Ritva says, it's in Soros Chav Zayin, Vim Tomar Ulukulu Perushi, according to all the explanations of why we're whipping him, he's not going to stay married. He's not going to go to Beis Din. He's going to stay married to her. He might be a Kohen. And now what are you doing? The answer is the Rabbanan knew that wherever he knows there was a Pesach Pasuach, he is not going to refrain from going to Beis Din. In other words, he will go to Beis Din, even knowing he's going to get whipped. He's going to go to Beis Din anyway. And if his claim is there was no blood, then we're not whipping him at all, because that's a substantive claim. That's a Taina Brura. So the Ritva says, I'm not scared. Don't worry about it. People will still come to Beis Din. The Meiri is concerned, and that's the Meiri that we saw before, who said there are three different types of people who show up in Beis Din. He said, in the event that it's an Asui who knows what he's talking about, we're certainly not whipping him. In the event that it's a Bachur who is innocently making a claim that he thinks is true, we're also not going to whip him. We're only whipping the guy who shows up amazed. So we're relying on everybody to know that you only get whipped if you're a bad actor. But if you're an innocent person, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Good luck. Okay. And then you get the Chazon Ish with a comment in Source Chaf Ches. And the Chazon Ish says, yes, there indeed is a concern, and this you already see reflected in the other Chazon Ish that I brought, but take a look at Chaf Ches. He says, V'inaman la'osra, if the guy in fact would be credible to prohibit her, mistaber de lo makinan lay, then presumably we're not whipping him. De'imkein atamach shilo, because whipping him would undermine him, it would cause him not to come to Beis Din. Where do we whip? In the case where he could stay married to her. He's a Yisrael. We don't know that anything happened after Kiddushin. So that would be where we would do it. Okay, Shoshone, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Sure, thank you. So do we know why the Bavli doesn't bring libel as a reason for Malkus?
You mean why it doesn't say it explicitly?
I mean,
we do in the Gemara Pesachim. Yeah.
Okay.
We just didn't say it here. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Ravezi. According to him, say this again.
According to the Ritva, the location of Petach Toch implies that we don't actually talk about Dam. I always understand the impression that Petach Toch implied that there was a case of no Dam, which is what we had all checked.
So we said last week that you can make a Pesach Pasuach claim even when there is Dam. Pesach Pasuach, yeah. Correct. Correct. Okay. So I want to jump, because we have like 6 minutes. Not like, we have 6 minutes. So I want to jump to the fourth case. The case of the barrel test. The other things I have here are worth seeing, but there's no time. So the Gemara on Daf Yom Beis gives us the story. It's in source Lamed Dalet on your sheet. Hauda asa kamed Rabbi Gamliel bar Rebbe. Someone comes to Rabbi Gamliel the third. Amrle Rebbe ba'alti v'lo matzas hidam. He says, I didn't find any blood. Amrle, she responds, Rebbe, adayim basula ani. I'm still a basula. So he says, bring me two maids, and what we mean is women who are not Jewish in this story. One of them is a besula, never been with a man, and the other one is a be'ula, she's already been. Heviulo, they brought him. And he puts them on a barrel of wine. Be'ula recha nodef, besula in recha nodef. The be'ula, the smell of the wine wafts forth. The besula, it does not. And then he does it with this married woman, and lo and behold, there's no smell. And he says, that's the way it works. If she is a ba'ula, there's a smell. If she is a basula, then there's no smell. V'nivdok meikar begava, why didn't you just test with her? Why'd you bring in the two shefachos? Gemara v'shmiel e'maisa lo havachazi, because he never actually saw anybody do this. It was like he had heard about. So he thought, you know, I may not know what I'm doing. V'lav orach aral is a zule b'nos Yisrael, and it wouldn't be right to degrade b'nos Yisrael. What in the world is happening in this story? Let's see how much we can get through this. So first of all, the issue of degrading B'nos Yisrael, what exactly is the zilzul that's involved? So I brought you on the sheet. The sheet of Mekubetzos brings you Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in source Lamed Hei, saying that the zilzul is doing the calibration exercise on B'nos Yisrael. Calibration is definitely required. And you're having these women who are not involved in this story at all come in. You're calling attention to genitalia. That's what you're doing by doing this public test. That's really gross. That's really inappropriate. I did see in the Chavrusa commentary on this daf a different explanation that the zilzul is if the test gets things wrong. That's the fear. It's why I'm doing the calibration in the first place, is in order to make sure that I don't make a mistake. So what exactly is this test? So I gave you a link in Source Lamed Zayin. If you click there, you get the article. By Mordechai Halperin, who explains that a be'ula would have laxer muscles down there because she's already been with a man. Remember, it's not about the besulim, it's not about the hymen, because it's not a Pesach Pasuach claim. It's a Tanas Damim claim. And so the internal membranes will be more exposed to vapor from the alcohol. He points out that membranes can be used in order to transport medicine around the body. It's absorbed in the membrane, and then it transports. It gets into the bloodstream. And so his argument is that the vapor from the alcohol will be absorbed in the membrane. It's not about smelling vapor wafting through the body, because this isn't about a hymen. It's about smelling blood alcohol on her breath. That's the argument. It's about smelling. Remember, there is such a thing as a breathalyzer test. You're smelling the blood alcohol on her breath. I ain't shum. Read the article. I'm not doing it justice. I'm rushing too much. But that's his argument. However, not everybody has been so confident in this test. We already saw the Tshuvas HaGaonim in the beginning of the shiur, who said, "Yeah, we don't really take this test seriously. It's just a way to calm him down. That's really all that it's about." And in fact, the Rambam omits the test. The Rambam just says, Bodkin, we test. That's it. The Magid Mishnah says that, and I brought you the Magid Mishnah on the sheet, that the Rambam omits it because you don't have to use this test. You could use some other test. And in fact, they write about using a rofe. But I wanted to note two things on this. First of all, the Taz. The Taz notes that the tour brings the test, in Evan Ezra Samaches, and then quotes the Rama as saying, test on Shfachos first. So he wants to know, why doesn't the tour bring that view of testing on the shvachos first? And he says, because there's reason not to test on the shvachos. There's no reason to think that just because it works on the Shifcha, it's going to work on this other woman. Everybody's bodies are slightly different. The barrel isn't a good fit. Who knows? And in calibrating things with the Shifcha, you could actually make things worse. If you don't know what you're doing, and you think it is Recha Nodef, and it's not Recha Nodef, like, doing the calibration with the Shvachos doesn't make a whole lot of sense, he says. And that's why the Torah says, don't bring it. You could actually mess things up worse by doing so. And he says, Rabbi Gamliel really, you know, did it La'avcha de Milsa, just to make things better. But he says it's better actually not to, and that's the Havamina in the Torah. Last note on this case. The Chalkes Yaakov brings the Zilzo line for a different point. He was dealing with a tragic case. There was a woman after the Holocaust who had been in the camps, and she got engaged to a Kohen. They had a Shidduch. And then the Kohen said, well, wait a minute, maybe something happened to her during the war. And now, am I able to marry her? So the Chalkes Yaakov goes on at length with a tshuva to permit her to get married. And I brought you just the end of the tshuva in Source Mem. He says you can go with her chazaka, and she is able to get married. And then he has a question, but wait a minute, after Lavarer, you're able to test, and therefore you can't rely on the chazaka. And he goes through this whole thing about not being Mevarer, and then he concludes saying, in Mem, Imkein Bahanach, Sinan de Haisha Muteris, the Kohen Va'af Bali Birur, you do not need to investigate. She is Mutter to the Kohen. He quotes our Gemara, Lav Orach Ara Lazalzule Bibnos Yisrael. It's not right to be Mizalzel Bibnos Yisrael. You're going to make them get tested. Avana Nomer, Lav Orach Ara Lazalzule Bibnos Yisrael, Vyisrael Tahorin Hain. And he allows her to get married. There's more to be said about all of these, but that's what we have time for. Next week is Rav Yehuda. On Yad Aleph. Shkoyach, everybody. Have a good Shabbos.